Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us now in our advanced class as we have an interesting few days to talk about maps in the article called MapQuest. This is Peng Menghui, Doris Broome, and we have some interesting panelists today. We have our businessman, Josh, here. How are you, Josh?
I'm great, Doris. Great to be here.
And, Josh, you've had quite a bit to do with things that have to do with the web and online things in your life, haven't you?
Yes. I've been working in digital marketing for the past 10 years and very experienced with digital maps.
So I'm glad that you could come today. And then we also have one of our editors who's also a teacher and an editor, Ellen Lai. How are you, Ellen?
I'm good. Thank you.
Ellen, did you ever use any of these services online like MapQuest and things like that?
I use them every day. They are probably a lifeline sometimes.
Well, that's so good. I'm glad that people know how to use them. Then we can explain them to some of you who maybe have not used them very much. There's a lot of good things out there that help make our life easier. Isn't that true, Josh?
That's right. I feel like the days of paper maps are just hundreds of years ago, right? We're so addicted, and like Ellen said, it's almost a lifeline. We rely on websites that get us places.
That's true. It's kind of fun to look at paper maps sometimes, to spread them out and see all those places on there instead of just one little section and keep moving it around. But I think really for up-to-date information, there's nothing like those that are online because they're up-to-date. The other paper ones are out of date as soon as they're printed.
That's right.
So let's start now on page 22 today and find out more about using maps in MapQuest. What does it say under the title of MapQuest? What does it say next?
Well, it says Google, Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft are competing to give you the best maps on the globe. But does this race even have a prize?
Does that sound interesting to you?
Well, those are pretty exciting companies, all trying to be our primary map providers.
Well, MapQuest, that was one of the early ones that was on the web, wasn't it?
That's right. One of the very first mapping sites, MapQuest.com. It's still around. It's owned by AOL, but it's not even mentioned in this article because it's not really an important player anymore.
But do you ever use it?
Not much, no. Google is my primary mapping tool.
Okay, what about you, Ellen?
I have used MapQuest on occasion. It was kind of, as Josh mentioned earlier, when maps weren't as...
Right, I used it before it, too, yeah. Right. Well, the idea of quest means to go out like adventure and look for something and get some information, doesn't it, to find,
right.
Ask something.
Yes, and...
quest, like question, huh?
Exactly, and almost like you're on a hunt. And
right.
So we're on a hunt in this article to find out what is the next great technology in mapping.
Well, and the names mentioned here, of course, we're all very familiar with because anybody who has any kind of smartphones or iPads or whatever it is, they know all these companies, of course.
And that's really what we'll be talking most about, mobile mapping, not so much PC-based technologies, but how are we using mapping while we're on the go?
Well, I'm not surprised, you know, that Google is into it. And, of course, Apple would be and Microsoft. But Nokia, I always kind of think about it as a very good phone company. But lately, they've been trying to get into all these things that Apple and Microsoft are into, haven't they?
That's right. We don't think of them as a software company like we do with Google. But they do have some software and some apps that some people feel are better than Google and Apple's map apps.
Well, we can think about that and we can discuss it. It'll be kind of interesting, won't it, Ellen?
It will be.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting as we go along. So let's look at this on page 22 right now and read the very first column.
MapQuest. Google, Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft are competing to give you the best maps on the globe. But does this race even have a prize? Everyone has at least one mapping fiasco story. And then I turned right. right into a swamp. And Brian McClendon, VP of Google's mapping division, has heard them all. People can't resist sharing them, even though the misadventure is never as wacky as the storyteller thinks it is. When I tell him my tale of directional woe, he sighs. "We should have gotten your query right," he replies in a weary, apologetic tone. About 6 weeks before I coaxed this measure of regret out of Google Maps, internet outrage about some glaring errors in Apple's new Maps app had prompted CEO Tim Cook to apologize to the world. After saying he was extremely sorry, he vowed Apple would keep working nonstop until Maps lives up to the high standards customers expect of the company.
Well, let's explain some of these phrases. I think the writing of this article has some very good vocabulary words in it, doesn't it?
I think so as well.
It starts out by talking about everybody having some kind of a fiasco. Fiasco, is that sounds Spanish or something to me? Latin, what is it?
Well, fiasco just means that everything goes wrong. Nothing's going right.
Okay. So you tried something and it turned out poorly. It turned out badly. So, that was really terrible. It was no good at all. It was a fiasco.
Yes, a failure. And a mapping fiasco would mean that you programmed Google Maps, whether on your phone or on the computer, to get you the directions to your location, and the directions turned out to be wrong. And this has happened, I think, to everyone at some point. The map said to go left, and you went right, and you ended up getting lost.
It says you turned right, and then you turned right into a swamp. In other words, you weren't looking to go into some kind of a river. You were looking for some building.
But maybe, you know, a road was changed or something was under construction, and you followed the map, and it took you to a dead end.
Well, maybe the name of the swamp was the name of a street. I mean, it could have been that something had the same name, because that does happen, too.
Or streets have similar names of each other, or street names get changed quite often.
Yes.
Right.
Or some streets turn into one-way streets.
This happens to me sometimes when I'm using that Siri on the phone, when you say, "What would you like?" and you say something, and they want to call somebody that lives in Africa or something. No. You know, because there's so many names that sound the same. It's no wonder that some of these electronic things get a little mixed up.
Yes, they do.
We have to, you know, not be too hard on them sometimes. They're doing a pretty good job, actually.
Well, Brian McClendon would say that. He would say that these stories aren't as bad as you would say they are.
That's
and so
true.
Brian's got a tough job. That's a picture of him there on page 22. And he's in charge, the VP of Google's mapping division.
But it is true, like it says in line 10, that people can't resist sharing them. We always like to tell these stories are kind of funny, and they make people laugh, or they say, "Oh no!" They get some kind of a response out of people.
Right, right. We like to tell stories in hindsight or after they've happened.
Right,
they're
something
not usually
wasn't
very
good.
Funny.
Sometimes we call it a misadventure. You know, right. You say, "I had a great adventure. I did something." But when you have a misadventure, something went wrong, and people always like to hear about. Makes a good story, doesn't
right.
it?
Right. It's not so funny when you're going through it, but pretty
right.
funny when you think about
it. It's never quite as wacky, which means strange or far out. It's never as far out as the storyteller likes to think when they tell it. You know, what happened to me, you know? Well, I guess the guy didn't fall in the swamp. He just got to the, you know, it wasn't that bad. But they try to make it sound really something, you know?
That's right. Wacky means just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And he says, "When I tell them my tale of directional woe," this is our author speaking, Brian tells him, "We should have gotten your query right." And directional woe means just the problem that he faced. A woe is a worry or a difficulty that you face in your life.
Right. It's interesting the way they use the words to write here. They're very, you could say, picturesque words, directional. My problem with directions that I had here. And, of course, when you apologize, yes, we should have gotten what you asked us, your query. Mm-hmm. You were on a quest. You were trying to find something, and we didn't get it right. So he says, okay, we should have got it right. But he sounds a little bit tired because he's probably had to apologize many times.
Yes.
So it's kind of a weary, apologetic tone. Now, if somebody says, "We should have got it right," You say, well, that's not very apologetic. You're not sorry.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. We should have got it right. So your tone does make a difference when you apologize, doesn't it?
It does.
And I'm sure he's weary from all the complaints that he gets, because I think no one ever writes to Google Maps to say, thank you. What a great job you did in getting me to my location. But we do complain when
we
don't miss a street.
Isn't that true just about everything, you know? Like even when we put out magazines and programs, and a lot of times somebody says, I don't like this. But then you change it. About 1,000 other people said, I like it. Why did you change it? They never said they liked it.
Right.
But one person didn't like it. So, you know, so sometimes you can't always just listen to that. Like they call it the squeaky wheel, mm-hmm. you know. Just have to decide. You can't change everything because one person doesn't like it.
No. And people don't like change. I think that's something we'll talk about in the next paragraph with Apple's fiasco, was that it was so different than Google Maps. Because people, especially in technology, we just get used to how things work.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been upset over a Facebook page change, Ellen?
Yes. Facebook feels like they change their format about every 3 months or so. And every single time it changes, my entire feed is, oh my gosh, why did they change the format again?
I know, we're not used to change. It's always, but it's coming all the time.
Yep. Yeah.
But, you know, about 6 weeks before, he actually coaxed this. And when you coax somebody, you just sort of try to persuade them. You don't make them do it. You try to coax them into it. You know?
I almost think of like gently squeezing it out of someone.
Right.
Please do this, you know. They got this little bit, this measure of regret. It wasn't deep regret, but okay, well, I'm sorry, we should have. You know, just a little bit of regret.
Right, just a small apology he got from Mr. McClendon.
Then what happened about 6 weeks before that?
Well, there was internet outrage, and some of us remember this, the people who bought the iPhone 5. It came with Apple's first proprietary Maps app, meaning they built it themselves. Previous iPhones, iPhone 4, if you have that, would just rely on Google Maps or your own mapping application that you wanted to download to your phone. But this one came installed, so right there on the home screen, it had Apple's first Maps app.
And it wasn't working quite right.
No.
It worked horribly, actually.
Did you ever try it?
I did. I updated my phone to that iOS, and it was probably the worst decision.
Yes. Oh, right. iOS 6, if you updated it. So on your iPad or an older iPhone, you would then have this Apple Maps app. And the problems were varied. I think people felt some of the location, wayfinding was challenging. And they also left out transit, meaning like subway directions, bus directions, train directions.
Mm-hmm.
They just left those out completely.
And some roads in some places were mislabeled, were labeled incorrectly, or they weren't written in the right way. I think there was a story where in Australia, some people ended up in the desert.
Because of the swamp, they ended up in the desert. Right? Well, you know, it's not easy to do that when you think of the big job, and they probably were in a hurry to get it out for the new phone.
Yes.
And so they probably, you know, tried to do it too fast because there's so much to do. In order to keep up, you have to do it.
And Steve Jobs had just stepped down, and there was a lot of pressure on the new CEO.
Right.
And a lot of people were quick to say, oh, this wouldn't have happened if Steve was in charge.
But it could have happened. Who knows? But anyway, Apple said they'd keep working without stopping. Whenever we say nonstop, that means just to keep on without stopping, nonstop. And they said they would do that until they come up to the high standards that the customers expect of the company. Do you think they have come up to those yet? Probably not.
Not yet.
It takes too long, doesn't it? I mean, you can't do it overnight.
Right. Well, I think previously, as Josh mentioned, they relied on Google for these maps. And now they're probably about 5 or 10 years behind where Google is.
Right. Because Google's had to go all around. We're going to find out how they get all of their information. And you can't do that overnight. It's a big, big job.
It's a big world.
Mapping.
A lot of roads. Yeah. A lot of little streets.
Right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about how you chart things. I think of the old maps, and we see old maps that people drew when they thought the earth was flat or something. Right. They would go at the edge of the paper, and that was the end of, you know. And then we look at those cartology?
Cartography.
Right? Cartography, right. And they liked all these old maps. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, people love the history of mapping in the world, in your continent, in, you know, the way mountains shape our landscape. A lot of interesting elements of mapping.
But I think some of those old maps were fiascos, too, because you didn't go to the end of the map and that was the end of the world. You kept going round and round.
Right.
So we had to keep learning all these things, didn't we?
Yep.
We're going to find out more about the challenges that people have in charting as we read the second column on page 22.
Challenges in charting. Mapping is a thankless endeavor. It's time and labor intensive to traverse, capture, analyze, and present every nook and cranny of the globe. It's also expensive. New roads, buildings, and entire cities are constantly popping up, challenging the best efforts of every mapping firm. And customers are demanding. While you'll overlook mediocrity in other digital experiences, blurry Skype video chats, numerous incoherent conversations with Siri, when it comes to getting to the right place at the right time, failure isn't an option. Given all the headaches, why has mapping moved to the center of some of the most contentious fights in tech, including Apple's escalating feud with Google? Mobile software competitors, Amazon, Apple, Google, Microsoft, Nokia, and a host of others all share the same hunch that maps sit at the core of our digital future.
Well, the very last part that you just read here was this kind of a hunch. And a hunch is sort of a guess, an educated guess. I have a feeling. I have a hunch. And what kind of a hunch does he have?
Well, that maps are extremely important to the digital future at the core or the center of how we're going to use technology in the future.
So that's making maps quite important. I never really thought of them that way before, did you?
No, I think we take them for granted. You go to the website, you bring up the app, and you get there. I never really thought about the data and the advertising and the importance of map technology.
Right. So I think this article will bring that part forth, that maps are pretty important in our lives, aren't they?
Right, right. I mean, I don't think we realize how important they are until maybe our phone breaks or we can't find our phone and we don't know how to get somewhere.
When I think about, you know, when we used to travel several years ago, we didn't have all this, and somebody would have a paper map, and then they would be sitting next to the driver because the driver can't look at the map when they're driving and say, no, I think you take Highway 99. No, you take this one, and they're trying to find the place on there and where to get off and where the next gas station is. Mm-hmm. All those had to be printed on maps.
Mm-hmm.
And AAA, an automobile company in the States, has all these maps of every different place. They still have a lot of maps, but people relied on those completely. But it had to have somebody interpreting what was on there. And, of course, it wasn't up to date like these maps are.
No.
So we've come a long ways.
We call them the navigator, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll drive and you navigate.
Right.
And now we rely on GPS to talk to us from the front seat of the car or
turn left,
look at your phone. You brought up an interesting point. It's now illegal in the States. They finally made this law just a couple weeks ago that it's illegal to look at Google Maps on your phone while driving.
Is that right?
Yeah, they got a ticket. A guy got a ticket and said, I wasn't texting. I wasn't, you know, talking, you know, on my phone. I was just looking at the map. And they say that's distracted driving. It shouldn't be done.
So what you're going to have to do is have the map talk to you then.
Yes, right. Voice-enabled.
To do all voices. But anyway, it is a thankless endeavor. People keep doing it, and nobody says, well, thank you for making all these nice maps. I guess we never have thought about that, really.
I've never thanked Google.
I don't know who to thank, actually. You know. But it's time, and it's a lot of work. It's labor-intensive. In other words, you have to keep on going. To traverse means what?
To go all over a place, to go from one end to another. And we think about traversing a countryside or your city, your hometown, would take a lot of work to capture and analyze and present every nook and cranny.
especially of the whole world, the whole globe. You never thought about that, that you can see things from all over the world. And it would be expensive to do that. Almost impossible, it seems like.
It would seem. They have a big team. I know Google has a big team of people that go all over taking pictures and making sure roads are still accurate. I think one of my favorite things to do if I'm homesick is to look on the street view of my neighborhood back in the States. And you can, on street view, you can click in and actually see the physical buildings and homes and landmarks of places, which are good when you're driving somewhere new and you want to get a feel of a place before you drive there.
Right. As Josh mentioned, I used to also look at pictures of my home just to see, compare, and figure out what time they had maybe driven through my neighborhood to see.
Well, I have some of my relatives have bought a new place, and then I look at it on the map, and, oh, that looks pretty nice. I can see the picture over there and exactly where it is and how to get there and everything. So it's really convenient, isn't it?
And they update it, like you said, pretty often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
send people back out. Maybe every couple years, maybe once a year.
Yeah.
Take all new pictures.
I just read an article that was saying they are sending hikers out into areas of the wilderness in Canada just to get street views of those.
Whoa. You know, I never thought of looking at Alaska and those places. I wonder if you see the polar bears up there.
Right.
I'm going to check it out after.
Do they have to cover up the polar bears?
Yeah, I don't know. The polar bears probably don't care. But the new roads and the buildings and the whole big cities now are constantly popping up. I mean, all of a sudden, the city becomes larger, and there's a city where there wasn't one. So the people said, well, we better hurry up and get that on the map. And when we talk about this phrase of on the map, it's an interesting phrase because if something is on the map, it means people know about it. It's kind of an expression we use. I'm going to put you on the map, Josh. That means everybody's going to know about you, see? So the map is something that we really use a lot in speaking, don't we?
You sure do.
Well,
I hope Studio Classroom's on the map for everybody.
Oh, it definitely is.
Well, in the past, I think when the first explorers first started doing maps, saying on the map just meant that it had been explored.
Right. People knew there was that place, and they wrote it down there. So it's important to get on the map. But it challenges even the best efforts of these companies that are doing that because the customers, that's you and me and all of us, we are quite demanding.
Yes. Well, it says, while you'll overlook mediocrity or maybe just average in other digital experiences like Skype or conversations with Siri, we don't hold our mapping companies to that same low standard of quality.
Right. It is true that sometimes when you're talking to Siri, we have these incoherent conversations because they don't understand you. Would you say that again? I don't know what you said. And not very coherent, not very clear. But with maps, you really expect them to get it right, not to give you the wrong thing. You cannot fail. Failure is not a choice. It's not an option.
Well, I don't think any of us have ever even compared directions, right? I mean, you're typing in a place that you've never been before, which is why you are on the site in the first place or on the app. So how could you go and, you know, do quality control? Or, I mean, have you ever looked at compared two different mapping companies to see how they got you
there?
I haven't, but I have heard of people who perhaps know the way to a certain place and have looked at directions and said, oh, well, actually, these directions take more time than you really need.
Yes.
Or
that's true. Yeah,
one less
traffic
turn.
I've seen that, too.
Yeah.
So we're all driving a little bit longer, thanks to the mapping tools.
Thanks to the map, but they want to get you there. But given all these headaches or these problems, not really a headache, but a problem can be called a headache.
Mm-hmm.
Then why has mapping moved to the center of some of these big, which we say, contentious, that mean questionable fights in technology, including Apple? They have going on escalating, gets bigger and bigger fight going on. It's like a feud, which never stops with Google because they're always kind of seeing who could get ahead. It's sort of a competition. It's a competing thing, isn't it?
It is competing both for eyeballs in terms of how many people are using their products, but also one of their biggest fights, contentious battles, is over patents, Mm-hmm. Who owns the intellectual property of a lot of these tools? And
kind of hard to say, isn't it?
It's just a constant battle between these two companies.
And even Amazon is getting into it. Amazon used to just sell books and things. Now they sell clothes, and now they do everything. They're into everything.
Products, video, right. Cloud servers. It's endless.
And Nokia's getting into more than just phones. All of them and a host. A lot of others all share the same feeling or this hunch because maps are very important to all these companies. And I really never thought of it in that way until I read this article and I started to be more aware of how important maps are. Didn't that make you feel that it's more important than you realized before?
Well, I realized that we had some big players, but I didn't realize Nokia was involved. I'd forgotten about Microsoft, and then you can't count on Amazon.
That's right.
An ambitious company that when they do something similar to Apple, they usually do it right.
Yeah, whatever you can think of, they're in it. So I'm sure that they'll do themselves proud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of, you know, since I'm from Seattle, I kind of have to give Amazon a little push. Microsoft and Amazon are Seattle. But, you know, California, Josh, you're from California. You got some good stuff going down there.
Yes, we do.
You got Google and Apple, right?
Yeah. They've made us proud, too, in California.
Right. But, you know, as far as these kind of things are concerned, all of the people in the world want to know how to get around. It's very important. So let's think more about that as we study this the next day or two. And when you come back tomorrow, what are we going to talk about tomorrow, Josh?
What we're going to talk about, how we're stepping out in our lives, not only in mapping, but also how it's going to help us get around perhaps in cars and as we walk through city streets.
Okay, so that'll be very interesting. Be sure and come back and be with us, all of you that are listening in, and follow this closely because it's going to be the core of the digital future. We better find out more about it. Thanks for being here today, Ellen.
Thank you.
Josh,
great
will you be here tomorrow?
I sure will.
And all of you, will you be there tomorrow? Say yes. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.